So, Mr. Magnuson said after they had ordered, the great experiment. Tell me everything.
Well, Janie said, glancing again at Opal, I'm trying to find an efficient way to desalinate large amounts of seawater, to take the salt out and make it drinkable without using a generator, so that the ocean could be a water source more easily. Mr. Magnuson's blue eyes grew wide.
But this is magnificent, he said. It could alleviate so much suffering.
I hope so, Janie said, tearing off a piece of warm bread.
Wars will be fought over water, Mr. Magnuson said. It will be the great commodity. Cheap, large-scale desalination would change everything.
I haven't done it yet, Janie said.
But you're close.
I think so.
Who gave you the idea?
Janie nearly choked on her bread. Sorry? She asked.
Well, it's not an idea that a schoolgirl has on her own, am I right?
Janie felt her cheeks getting hot. Why had she had to brag about the project? She couldn't say anything about Jin Lo or the pharmacopoeia.
I just figured it out by working on it, she said, which was sort of true.
It's been a slow process.
But how did you become interested in chemistry?
All Janie could think of was Jin Lo, who was not a normal chemist in the way that the apothecary was not a normal apothecary.
In London, she said, I had a good teacher. I won a prize there, and that got me the scholarship here.
Remarkable, Mr. Magnuson said. I'll be your first customer. I can use your desalination in the islands. I predict, Janie, that you will do great things.
Janie smiled, uncomfortable. And so will Opal. Mr. Magnuson waved the idea away.
Oh, Opal will inherit a lot of money, he said. She might do good things with it, and she could marry a very rich man if she stops making herself ugly.
Daddy,
Opal said.
Seriously, though, Janie,
Mr. Magnuson said, leaning forward,
I would like to buy your experiment.
It's not for sale, Janie said. Anyway, it isn't finished.
When it's finished, then, he said. I insist.
There was a silence. Opal crossed her arms and slumped in her chair, her heavy glasses sliding down her nose. Her mother took up her wine glass and glanced at Janie like a frightened rabbit. Food arrived, carried by a teenage busboy, and Mr. Magnuson made a big production of making sure there was room for everything on the table. Then he kept up a steady stream of anecdotes, so there was no room for other conversation. Janie turned her attention to her plate of spaghetti. It was delicious, and she'd been hungrier than she knew. She concentrated on twirling the noodles on her fork and not splashing sauce onto her shirt. But then, her reprieve was over. Mr. Magnuson asked,
How soon do you think you'll be finished with your experiment?
I don't know, she said. She meant to stop there, but he looked at her encouragingly, waiting. It all depends on the recrystallization process, she said, and perfecting my seeding method. Opal yawned in protest.
This is so boring, I'm going to cry.
Your capacity to be bored is the stuff of legend, her father said.
I'm tired too, Magnus, his wife said quietly.
Raffaello, Mr. Magnuson called to the busboy. May I have the check? I must get these ladies home to bed.
They were gathered by helpful hands into their coats. Mr. Magnuson held open a vast black fur cloak for his tiny wife, ready to swallow her up. As she backed into the fur, the princess shot Janie the frightened rabbit look again, and this time Janie thought it contained either a plea or a warning, or both. Janie walked back with Opal to their room in Carlton Hall. The wind had died down and wasn't so cutting, especially now that Janie had a belly full of food. They were silent for a while, and Janie was trying to think what to say that wouldn't embarrass them both, but Opal burst out first.
Why do you try to show me up with Daddy? She asked.
Janie was startled.
I don't. He's my father, you know.
Of course he is.
He's not yours.
I have my own father.
When you act all smart with him, it makes him think I'm stupid.
I wasn't trying to act smart, Janie said, though she kicked herself for not shutting up. I just answered his questions.
He said that all I can do with my life is marry someone rich.
He had said that. Janie couldn't deny it. She thought of her own father, who had always been so supportive and encouraging, when he wasn't teasing her and joking.
Her parents had talked to her as if she were an adult and played games with her as an equal for as long as she could remember. She couldn't imagine what it was like to have none of that confidence behind you. She said, I think your dad was just making a joke.
No, Opal said, shaking her head. He meant it.
He said you'd do good things with the money, Janie said. It takes skill to be a good philanthropist.
It's not like being a scientist. So be a scientist then, Janie said, losing patience. Show him he's wrong.
I'm failing math.
Then let's go over some problems. I'll help you.
Don't you dare patronize me, Janie Scott, Opal said. I wasn't.
Opal marched ahead, the heels of her expensive boots striking the pavement, and Janie followed helplessly. Their room in Carlton Hall was barely big enough for two narrow beds pushed against opposite walls, two desks, two dressers, and a single closet, but still, Janie and Opal managed to get ready for bed without speaking. They stepped around each other with cold constraint. Janie wanted to bring up tomorrow's math test, but she didn't dare. In bed, she lay looking at the ceiling, listening to Opal toss back and forth on her pillow just a few feet away. She tried to think of something to say, to apologize, but could only imagine Opal shooting it down. Then Opal's restless rolling stopped, and her breathing became steady. If she could sleep, then Janie could too.